FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Hey, friends. Welcome. Glad you're with us. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon in Carson City. Our producer, Phil, is in for Craig today. Phil, how are you this morning on this local show?
I am just peachy and keen.
You already got a message about today's show, didn't you?
I did. A couple of them, actually.
Read the nice ones.
Okay. Unfortunately, we won't have a guest today, but the nice one was, don't mess it up again.
Okay, that's nice, huh? have three guests today, but one of them can't. Who canceled?
Our garage door person, Oz.
Oh, the garage door people.
Yeah.
I thought that would be a great topic. The garage door people, ProLift, they couldn't make it because what? They couldn't get out of the garage door. No?
They couldn't get out of installing some today.
Well, okay, I got that. It kind of reminds me. We had somebody where I worked years ago, and she could not make it to work because she could not get the car out of the garage because the garage door didn't work.
That happened to my dad once.
It's happened to a lot of people when I tell the story. Oh, yes. I don't know if back in the day they had garage doors that did not have a manual disengage thing or what, but that was a strange problem back in the 70s and 80s. We had a lot of fun with it in the office. I'm not saying that's what happened to them.
After my dad got his replaced and it had that little rope handle for the manual override, yes. He used to hang a Christmas ornament from it every year.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Maybe mistletoe or something. It is a season. I'm hearing a lot of Christmas songs. You know, does anybody have a favorite? Not that Phil can play them, but I'm beginning to really appreciate Christmas songs. I think when you get older, you turn more, melancholy. And since Christmas songs become sacred family memories, you really enjoy them more as you get older. Or a soldier in service halfway across the world, they love it. And I remember my first year of college, hundreds of miles away from home in Indiana. I would work one of my two part-time jobs in college, because I had to pay for my own room and board. That was the deal with my dad. I had two part-time jobs during college, and one of them was at a country radio station. And even though the university was shut down for Christmas season, I did not go home, because that's where us part-timers make all our money, you know, filling in for all the full-timers going off to see their families. And I would rack up like 100 hours a week doing part-time work during that time. But I remember being at this country radio station in Valparaiso, Indiana, away from my family on Christmas Eve at night. And I'll never forget that somebody asked me what my favorite Christmas song is. Have yourself a merry little Christmas, but it has to be sung by, of all people, Jimmy Dean. Now, I don't think he can find it anymore. He did a Christmas album. Yeah, the Breakfast Sausage Guy. Okay. But he did, I don't know, it was just the way he sang it and just the right amount of violin and horns and the twang he had. And kids, your grandma would just melt at that. But some of these songs, Dean Martin did great versions of Christmas songs. You know, my personal opinion, I think the best Christmas songs are done by the crooners, in my opinion. Crooners are not that popular at all anymore, but they really knew how to do a Christmas song. Thank goodness nobody, the music radio stations, thank goodness nobody plays that Jingle Bells by the Barking Dogs. Remember that?
I love that.
Now, there are some people who do, not criticizing, but I worked in radio. I had to play that thing every year for like 2 weeks. And can you believe it? Barking Dogs, Jingle Bells was a hit. Yeah, 1970s it was a hit, and then it came up the charts again, I think, early 80s, and I think finally we buried the thing. Now, if Craig were there in Carson City right now, he'd be digging up that song to torture me and play it in my headphones right now. Thank goodness we have a sane and reasonable producer in Carson City right now. Phil would never do that.
I've got it right here, so I won't do it.
You know, if you haven't heard it, it's actually my rendition is much better than the record. It's, you know, like that. Were they trained, these dogs?
No.
To do that? Were they helped a bit by a cattle prod?
Actually,
was it by electric shock that these dogs sang Jingle Bells? Well, if so, it had to be done perfectly in just one take.
In the mid-70s, this was actually very high-tech music for the time, because what they did, and they still do this, is they recorded dogs barking. And then you'd have one with a C pitch and one with an F pitch. And they would manually cut tape with razor blades spreading lots of blood. Trust me, every radio person who's been in this business for a long time has spread a lot of blood. That's how it was done.
This is fascinating.
Now they do it with keyboards.
That's fascinating. That really is. I thought they were electric shocked. Anyway, how did I get off track here? I did want to bring up this one thing that somebody asked me. John, you've been in town forever. What restaurants are open here on Christmas Day? And I did some research. Here's what's open Christmas Day if you want to make plans in Reno, Carson City. Carson City, first off, the casino coffee shops, of course, are going to be open in any Nevada city or town. But otherwise, in Reno, the Tamarack Junction Steakhouse says they're going to be open. Black Bear Cafe and Sparks, don't know about the one on Virginia. Gold and Silver Inn is going to be open Christmas Day. Denny's, IHOP, a pizza restaurant in Midtown, Pizzava. And they're even going to deliver all the way until 3 in the morning Christmas Eve and deliver all day on Christmas Day. Sacrilege. And just about every Chinese restaurant in town, because I don't know where it started, but a open Chinese restaurant on Christmas Day, it's a thing. And speaking of which, what is your recommendation for good Chinese food in town? Phil has an answer right off. I know what it is, Phil. Go ahead.
Egg Roll King. I think there's four of them in the Reno area.
Now, some might disagree there, Phil.
They have.
Likes the barking dogs doing Jingle Bells.
When it comes to atmosphere, they have all the atmosphere of the Chow Hall, the USS Forrestal, I grant you. However, the food is cheap, plentiful, and very good.
Well, sad to say, my knowledge of Asian food, which is that's like one-third of the continent we're talking here, really is just from going to Chinese buffets for myself. But there are fewer buffets now lost. They never came back after the COVID lockdowns. There are dozens and dozens of Chinese restaurant options. I just don't, want to do the hit or miss tour. Egg Roll King is yours. Okay.
Another good one that's higher class, but a little more pricey, but worth the money.
Palais de Jade.
Is where?
Palais on Moana and Lakeside.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, yeah, it's been there since early 70s. Fancy Chinese. Yeah.
Golden Flower on 5th and West.
Ah, good tip.
That's good a good tip. Place, too. Although they have more than Chinese. They have Vietnamese, they have Japanese. They have Asian, the whole continent cuisine over there.
How come there are no beans or cheese in Chinese food?
There is. It's called tofu.
No, that's not really beans. I mean, we love Mexican food, which has both beans and cheese.
Refried tofu, that could work.
Now, Mexican food is considered Christmas time food, too. I have a friend who calls tamales, he calls them Mexican energy bars. Tamales are very big on Christmas because they serve two purposes. You're going to eat and you have something to unwrap.
Oh.
But no, that's what he says. But there's no cheese in Chinese. What do they do with the cows in China?
Good point.
Did you see the, did you folks see the picture on the internet of the menu from a Chinese restaurant where they have the Chinese symbols? And under that is the translation, English translation, under the symbols for each dish. And the English translation for one dish was, it was for jerk chicken. And the translation was chicken rude and unreasonable. That's a classic.
That is
a classic.
Hey, before you go to commercial, let me point out to you that you have a call.
Already a commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this. 970. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay. We also have a caller.
Oh, got to open that thing up. Okay. Caller screener. All right. Let's see.
Well, I'll cheat and tell you it's Blake who's calling in about Jingle Dogs.
Oh, my gosh. Why did I bring it up? Okay. Let's do it. Hey, Blake, welcome to the show. I'm John Potter. Good morning. I'm glad you called.
Hey, John, it's Blake.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, I was driving down the road this morning. I've got my dog with me, and you made your statements about the Jingle Bell dogs. He was very upset. I would even say that he was probably appalled as well.
Appalled? Okay.
Yeah, he's a very
I'm
appalled.
About ready to cut yeah. you off, but I'll let you go. Go
he
ahead.
He said, how dare you?
Is that a pun? I'm a little slow. The coffee's a little weak this morning. I appreciate
well.
The call. Yeah. See, thanks, Blake. Oh, God, I should have shut my mouth. I'm going to get tons of calls about that dumb record. Actually, I did ask about, okay, there it is. Best Chinese food or where do you go to eat on Christmas Day? Now, we are going to talk about downtown Reno. City is going to shell out some pretty big bucks to fix up downtown Reno. Gas prices, not only are they falling quite quickly, but what is it with the difference between places like Yerington and Reno or Hawthorne and Las Vegas? It's not just the county tax excuse, folks. I'm very suspicious this morning. Also, the natural gas bills set to go up if the commission approves. And also, the city is looking for stormwater fees. They say inflation is over. Also, the Mark Amadei voted with the Republicans for the impeachment inquiry into President Biden this week. Former President Trump coming to Reno tomorrow. We're going to do all of this, but the phone lines are open, 884-9910. Open topic, anything you want to talk about except the barking dogs. I'm John Potter. We'll be right back on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time 919.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth. Truth.
Scares me. Yes, ma'am. I feel the same way about those barking dogs, Jingle Bells. I'm John Potter. It is 3:19. Our time. Just checking statewide gas prices. I'm going to get into that in just a moment. I'll tell you where you can get unleaded. Well, everything's unleaded, but regular gas at $2.87 a gallon in northern Nevada. Coming up very soon, as soon as I'm through talking about my one of my sunrise walks through downtown Reno, and I'm going to tie in the plan by the city of Reno to get these companies who have buildings downtown to improve their buildings with city money. But I did an interesting sunrise hike through downtown Reno, 6:30 in the morning. It was right after the Santa crawl. I think I just went to see, you know, like, the devastation. I mean, they say it's the biggest crawl in the city all year long. Not only that, I love my breakfast downtown at 6:30 in the morning. They know me there, you know. But I walked through, the the disaster zone on Virginia and Sierra at 6 in the morning. And I walked through again at 8 o'clock in the morning after breakfast. And there were still just piles of trash all over the sidewalks and everything, overflowing dumpsters, tiny glass pieces all over the sidewalk that were not picked up. It was a surprising thing, too, and I think this is because on these crawls, the lines get so long for the bars that people actually bring liquor bottles because there were a bunch of empty ones all lined up on Virginia Street the morning after. Full-size empty liquor bottles.
Well, they're probably cheaper, too.
That, too. I mean, I'm sure that's not illegal, but it's the crawl. But I just can't get into the mind of a person who throws trash on a sidewalk. I don't care what event it is, throwing trash on the ground. Who does this? I'm sure that on these crawls now, separate topic. I mean, I'm sure these hole-in-the-wall bars and these little market stores in downtown Reno, I'm sure they made a mint on the Santa crawl. What do the rest of us get out of this? The casinos do well too, but what does the city get? What do us residents get from this? It was just a sad mess. But moving on to the good news this week, the city awarded over $450,000 in grants to downtown property and business owners to make exterior and interior improvements, well needed, to be honest, part of a new initiative to improve dilapidated, let's say it as it is here, and vacant buildings. Shouldn't the city be improving downtown with money anyways? Where's the money been going if not to improve the city, right? But anyway, the largest property on this list is the Calneva Casino on Virginia.
Wait a minute. That's one of the, one of the better looking properties downtown right now.
I was going to say, listen, this is their biggest building that the city funds are going to go to improve. I'm just going to say, don't fix it up too much. I mean, it wouldn't be our Calneva anymore. I mean, don't take the charm away.
No. But do and something with downtown. I was driving through downtown 23 hours ago. I was shooting some dash cam footage. You know I do this, John, every 2 or 3 years. I will drive Virginia Street from 341 all the way up to Red Rock.
And yes, you're an interesting man.
I will dash cam it. I'll put it online in comparison with footage from 5-10 years ago that I took. And downtown is an appalling, dirty embarrassment. I'm sorry to say this, but I was looking at footage from the 1950s that I didn't take it, stuff that I have on my hard drive at home, and it was a bustling, proud-to-be-downtown place. People were walking to and fro, tourists and locals alike, just either having fun, minding their own business, going from one place to another, and right now it is trash. It is garbage. It looks like a slum in Mexico City, and I am tired of it. Not that I have any opinions on it.
Yeah, and I don't know if I go that strong. I will say it's probably at an all-time low because what makes it 50% worse right now is the big, hulking, vacant Harrah's.
Yeah.
Right now with the
wire two square gate blocks of wrapped rotting around concrete. It.
They took the letters off, and you can see the soot spelling out Harrah's on the side of this white hulk, which is on North Virginia, with no hope of any time soon getting any further development on this. Now, based on what you said about the old pictures and everything, I don't want to sound like an old-timer here, but downtown Reno used to be one of the great city downtowns in the West.
Absolutely.
In all of America, actually. For many, many years, downtown Reno was one of the 30 most picturesque downtowns in America. We knew when I was a kid in New York, we knew what downtown Reno looked like with the arch in the TV shows and the movies
and magazines
and all the postcards people used to send. Remember postcards? Whenever a friend or a family member would travel, they would send these little postcards with pictures on them to people that they were close to. Everybody did this when they traveled. It was a thing. I don't think the smartphone killed postcards. I think postcards died out before those. But that is one of the things that made downtown Reno one of the top 30 downtowns in this country. Everybody, listen, my little town in New York, everybody knew what downtown Reno looked like. And now, already said what I wanted to say about it, but the city is spending $450,000 on fixing up some of those buildings downtown. Let me just say this. Can we get some money to Einstein's Bagels to fix that gosh darn roof finally? I saw Channel 4's Joe Hart last night at a party. Poor Joe has been on the case trying to get answers on when Einstein's Bagels is going to open for what, over a year now. It's coming. It's coming. I think Einstein's even put up a sign like, 6 months ago that is going to reopen. Joe, one more story on Einstein's. I think that should do it. I got a break for Fox News. I'm John Potter. Our phone number, 884-9910. Open topic day. Anything you want to say, favorite Christmas song, best Chinese food, do not mention the Barking Dogs Jingle Bells. There you go. 884-9910. I'm on the air every Saturday between 9 and noon on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 9:30.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm here myself, repeated in my headphones. Phil, what's wrong?
I don't know. Let me take a look here.
Hello?
Yeah, you're there. You're on.
Folks, do you hear me? I have to take these headphones off. Something happened here. One, two, one. No.
No, you're on the air and you sound fine to us. To you, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it could be my head. I'm going to take these headphones off. That's weird. That just happened. All right. I'm hallucinating again. Just ignore me. if I don't sound right, folks, call now, 884-9910. Because I'd like to know.
We're talking about audio quality, not content, locally. Ladies and gentlemen.
You'll notice this at your next fill-up. Oil prices are dropping big time. Finally, let me see, in Fallon today, I noticed in Fallon it was $3.27 last week. Right now in Fallon, $3.19. And in Reno, the lowest gas price is $4.19. At one place, from there, it's $4.24 and up. That sounds like a lot, but that's quite a decrease. Sparks, cheapest gas is $4.25. Carson City, $3.65 a gallon. That's at one place. That's the Costco. From then on, it's $3.69 and up. Now, let me go back to, I started with Fallon, $3.19, because it's about $1.50 less than Hawthorne. Even closer to Hawthorne, folks, Yerington, the cheapest gas in Yerington, you'll find it $2.87 a gallon at Yerington, $2.87 at a couple of places. Yes. This is a new discovery for me. It never was Yerington that was the place for the cheapest gas, but it's been that way for the past year. But at the same time, and it's not that far away, Hawthorne is $4.39 a gallon for regular at two places, $4.65 a gallon at the two other places in Hawthorne. How could Yerington be $2.87 a gallon, while Hawthorne is $4.39 a gallon? Now, I know some people in Hawthorne who are convinced that this is price fixing or gouging, but the other side of the story, I was talking to somebody who runs a gas station there, and they swear to me that it's because they have to buy their gas from Utah. And I don't know what the deal is, but they said the Utah distributor sets the price for what Hawthorne can charge for gas. I never heard of such a thing. I mean, how can a distributor demand that a privately owned business has to sell this product at the price they tell them to? How is that possible? I don't know anything about pricing or fuel or things like that, but it's amazing to me that we have that much of a difference between Yarrington, $2.87 a gallon, and Hawthorne at $4.39. Do you have any answers to that, Phil?
Unfortunately, no, I do not.
Okay, well, so somebody out there does. 8849, well, maybe not. Maybe they don't know. While gas prices are coming down, I thought that was you, Phil. I hear my echo in my ear. While gas prices are coming down, natural gas bills for customers in Nevada are facing a big increase. Southwest Gas is asking for a 10% rate hike in your gas. Yes, you. In your gas bills for next year. They filed the nearly $70 million rate increase request in September. Natural gas bills in southern Nevada would go up $5.80 a month. And in southern Nevada, they're going up about $10 a month. Northern Nevada, they're going up about $5.80 a month for here, northern Nevada. And that, folks, that is $70 more a year. Some customers say their Southwest gas bills are already twice or triple what they were paying just 2 years ago. There's your inflation, folks. And despite what the media and the White House says, it hasn't ended. It's the fourth rate increase in 5 years for Southwest Gas customers. The Public Utilities Commission hearing on the rate hike is in February. And on Wednesday, Reno City Council moved ahead with a plan to charge home and business owners a new monthly fee to fund stormwater and flood projects. And along with inflation, federal officials admitted just yesterday that homelessness is up to its highest reported level ever, a dramatic 12% increase in homelessness as housing is out of reach for more Americans. Now, this was announced by the federal government. It was announced by the Housing and Urban Development Secretary just yesterday that homelessness is up 12%. All this stuff about the economy is doing great that we hear about in the media is BS. Okay. On Wednesday, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives voted along party lines to formally launch an impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Our Nevada Congressman Mark Amadei voted for it. Former President Trump is campaigning hard already. Today he's in New Hampshire holding a rally at the university campus. Tomorrow he's in Reno. Now we're going to talk about that visit, former President Trump in Reno tomorrow, and what the latest polls say about the presidential race. And what else here? We have Sparks Police Department, another retail theft crackdown. Phone lines open, 884-9910. I'm John Potter. We're going to take an early break. I think the problem it's for beating in my ears, in my head. We're going to take a break. Be right back. Take your calls right now, 884-9910. 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 943.
Live streaming at 991FMTalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hi there, folks. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. Topic, gas prices. We got a text or a call. Phil, what did this person say about them?
Actually, that caller is your next guest.
Yes, you had a call about gas prices.
I'm sorry. Yes, we had a call from Weed Heights saying there is no gas in Yerington cheaper than $4 a gallon. He wanted to make sure you knew that.
No, that's not true. I just checked the AAA site and NevadaGasPrices.com, and it's always accurate. Well, okay, it has to be a huge blunder if that's true. 287 is what they list. And I know for a fact, I always, whenever I go to Vegas, stop at Yerington to get the gas. I paid like $3.19 there something like 3 weeks ago. So, all right, that's a big difference right there.
I just got off the phone with Erica. I'm sorry. I just got a phone with Erica from Yerington. The cheapest gas up there right now is $3.67.
Oh, I'm all messed up. Okay. Here's one final thing I got to say about it, though. I bought a diesel truck like 5 years ago thinking I'm going to save money because diesel is cheaper than regular. And ever since I bought this truck, diesel has cost more than regular. When is that going to go back to where it was? I don't have high hopes. Folks, today you will see thousands of wreaths at some northern Nevada cemeteries. It's part of the annual Wreaths Across America, honoring the millions of veterans interred at cemeteries in the U.S. and around the world. It began about 45 minutes ago at the Northern Nevada Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Fernley. Today at noon in Fallon, volunteers place a wreath at the grave, give a hand salute, and thank the veterans for their service. Relatives, friends, and neighbors of the fallen will lay down more than 8,000 wreaths today. On the phone from Wreaths Across America is Dave Perdue. Dave, welcome to the show. I'm glad you called.
Hi, John. Good talking to you. Yeah, I want to talk about Wreaths Across America. They normally it starts off it's the third Saturday of December every year, and normally at 12 Eastern time. And so Fernley was 9 today, but here in Reno we do it a little bit differently. I'm with the Sons of the Union Veterans. And we do a ceremony at the GAR Cemetery up here on Cemetery Hill above the university, and we do it at 12. And so your audience has plenty of time to get their jackets on and get up and meet us at 12 o'clock. We do it at 12 so people can do other ones and then come to ours. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up Reno because, you know, every year I remember 20 years at Channel 2 reporting on this, it was always the Fernley and the Fallon cemeteries that had the really big turnout and the big, I know people who used to drive from Reno to see it at Fallon with the ceremony and the speeches. And so I was wondering if Reno and Carson and other areas we broadcast to, like Yerington, also in Tahoe, do the same thing, Dave.
Yes, they do. And actually there's nine that I've identified here in places here in Nevada. Churchill County Cemetery in Fallon at 9, Winnemucca Cemetery, a Big Meadow Cemetery in Lovelock. I had to look up where that was. Lone Mountain in Carson City is at 9, already done. Happy Homestead in South Lake Tahoe, Garden Cemetery in Gardnerville, Eastside Minden, and then, of course, the two big ones, Southern Nevada Veterans Memorial in Boulder, and up here in the north, a Northern Nevada Veterans Memorial in Fernley, and that's a big one. But we here in Reno do the GAR up on the hill.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that's
it 12 bigger noon. Than ever this year? Because it was always quite a sight to see on the news, pretty much thousands of people putting the wreath at the grave and giving the hand salute and thanking the veterans for their service, which the reason people do this, the thanking to the gravestone, is because it kind of brings those veterans who gave their lives. It's like gives them life again in their minds when they do this.
Well, yes. And it lets them be remembered. They've been interred for years sometimes, and families are gone, and people forget. So a good part of it is just when you lay the wreath, to just take a second and remember and say the person's name, you know. Let me give you a little history on Wreaths Across America. Back, the owner of Morrill Worcester Wreath Company, when he was 12, went off and visited Arlington and D.C., and he was really impressed, and it always stuck with him. And then in 1992, he had a large surplus of reefs, and he didn't know what to do with them at the winter after Christmas or at Christmas time. And so he remembered Arlington and made arrangements to have them shipped to Arlington. And the local community found out, and they all jumped in and helped out, and truck drivers drove the reefs down. And it was pretty low-keyed until 2005. It was just a private low-key thing where they just sent reefs to Arlington. In 2005, there was this photo that went viral on the internet of all these red and green leaves on tombstones at Arlington in the snow, and it just went viral. And then, and the next year, they had a huge demand, and people wanted to volunteer, people wanted to give money, people wanted reefs in their own cemeteries. And the next year, they expanded. In 2006, they had 105 locations. Last year, there were 3,702 locations across the U.S. and overseas, yes, overseas, and 2.7 reefs were laid on veterans' graves last year.
Yes.
So it really has expanded hugely.
It is a huge thing. And now the goal is to get wreaths on every single veteran's grave site. Dave, how close are we to doing that?
I think we're getting there. All the big cemeteries where lots of veterans are laid, and community cemeteries have been identified. I think there's still some small ones that don't get recognized. I don't know how many other cemeteries here in Reno besides the GAR and Hilltop are recognized. The GAR cemetery is up on the hill above the university, and there's actually four cemeteries there. There's the Hillside Cemetery, the Knights of Pythias, and the Hebrews Cemetery. And we buy reefs for Hillside and Knights of Pythias and help them distribute them.
So, are you asking for people to come by the Reno Cemetery there by the university to take part in this or to observe today, Dave?
Well, they'll take part. So our ceremony is, we're with Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War, and there's some SAR members as well. And we'll have a little ceremony. We'll have reefs for the services and for POW/MIA, and we'll ask people in the public to put those reefs up. We'll fire a 21-gun salute, and then at the end, there'll be reefs, and the public is, we want the public to come and lay the reefs on these headstones and remember these veterans. Part of Reefs Across America's goal is, mission is to remember, to honor, and to teach. Remember the fallen, honor those who served, and to teach the next generation. And they have all kinds of good stuff.
What's your connection to this? How did you become involved?
So I'm with Sons of Union Veterans, and if we run out of time, I could tell you a little bit about it. But Sons of Union Veterans and the American Legion Post 1 maintain that cemetery up on the hill. The GAR was an organization that was formed after the Civil War, and it was only for Civil War veterans, Union Civil War veterans. The Confederates had their own organization, and that organization's goal was to help veterans, to help their wives, to help the orphan kids, and in turn, Civil War veterans with a proper burial. And there's GAR cemeteries all across the country, and the one here in Reno we support. And these guys were really, really great guys. And the GAR rules were that the organization would terminate when the last veteran died. And that last veteran died, believe it or not, in 1955. His name was Albert Woodsill, and he was 106 when he died. So he was just a teenager when he fought in the war. And when GAR died, they were done. But the Sons of Union Veterans is the follow-on organization, the heir to the GAR. And we honor our ancestors. I had three that fought in the Civil War.
It is really gratifying to see how this thing has grown, because I remember in Fernley, I think you had like two dozen back then, 15 years ago. Now it's really something. Okay, so the Reno Cemetery, ceremony set to start, you said, at noon. And
at noon,
give that address again,
at,
if you would.
It's on Angel Street. It is on, I think it's 116 Angel Street. It's on 8th and Angel. I have it written down, but, you know, you can't find things when you're looking for them. So, yeah. Well, so up on the hill, just go up past the university, up on the hill. Just search for Cemetery Hill, and you'll find it up there at noon. Yes.
Going on all over the country, 2.7 million veterans wreaths. Where do these wreaths come from, by the way?
I'm not sure if they still all come from Maine. I mean, that would be a lot in Maine. Yeah. The Wreaths Across America is a 501c6. They started that in 2006, but I want to speak to the truckers. If you got one second. The wreaths are all carried across the country by truckers, trucking companies who volunteer their time, volunteer their trucks, volunteer their drivers, volunteer their fuel. They earn nothing
them.
On it.
And
yes,
God bless
indeed.
You, Dave,
yes, indeed.
And all those who salute our veterans on this very special day, Wreaths Across America. Thanks, Dave, for checking in with us on this worthy thing to talk about this morning. Appreciate it. It's all live and local. I'm John Potter, back after Fox News at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 9:58.